And there was a time that I was disobedient to God. So many times some preachers are preaching out of their own conviction or something that is happening in their life. That is why they're preaching. And I believe God had put me through this so that I can have a word through that he can have a word through me to you. But he also speaking to my heart this morning. You know, when I was preparing this sermon, there was a verse that really, really encouraging me over this week. It was Isaiah 49. It was the last part of verse 15 and 16 that said, "I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed your name in the palm of my hand." What a wonder, what a beauty to know that my name is written in the palm of God's hand. I believe that we have come this morning to this church to be filled by the Holy Spirit. You know, we're going through a week, a hectic week. There's lots of things that is happening in our life. And basically, we're draining. And that's why I'm so thankful to the Lord that we can come together as His children on a specific time, a specific date, just to be filled up, just to be encouraged by one another and be filled up once again. So I want to invite you to open your heart this morning to Him, to receive what the Holy Spirit wants to give to you, or what the Holy Spirit wants to reveal to you this morning. Allow yourself to just sit back and relax in His presence, because we are in God's presence. Because He said He is holy, and if we are in contact with God, we are on holy ground. And therefore, we're sitting here this morning on holy ground. You and I are in the presence of the Almighty, the all-powerful, holy, holy, holy God. Therefore, let us just give everything of us to Him this morning. If sin comes to your mind this morning, receive, confess it to Him and receive forgiveness. If a thought comes to you, express it in the name of Jesus. But if a word of praise fill your heart this morning, voice it softly to the Lord. This is the time to experience the gentle warmth of God's Holy Spirit that is flowing through you, in you, and around you. This is what you and I need to see now, that God's Holy Spirit is here. He's flowing through me, in me, and around me at this moment. Let us just pray. Father, we give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. Lord God, we thank you for this time of fellowship. We thank you, Lord, that we can, as your children, can come together this morning and just give ourselves to you. Father, I pray now that you will be the silent listener, Lord God. That thank you that I know that you are here, Holy Spirit, already. That you have prepared this ground already. If we have looked to how our worship was going so far, we just give you all the honor and the praise, Lord, because we know that you are here and that you're doing awesome things. You're doing great things for your kingdom. Father God, I pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable before you, because you are my Lord and my King. Amen. We find our scripture reading in John 14. If you have your Bibles, you can open your Bibles at John 14. You know, this chapter in the Bible is a very, very special chapter. If you can see in my Bible, the whole chapter, except two verses, is written in red. So they normally say that, the big people who was, I don't know how to call them, but the people, you know, sometimes you first preach Afrikaans, then the English words don't want to come. But anyway, they say that if you see verses in red, this is the direct words of Jesus. If you see it is in black, it's somebody else's words or a normal statement. So if you look at this chapter 14, it's only two verses that was written in black. Here was a discussion of Jesus with his disciples, and the message that he was giving to his disciples then is the same message for you and me today. But you can read the whole chapter. It's a very, very special chapter. But please don't just rush through it. You have to take this chapter verse by verse. Take it in, receive it, and make it something very special. Otherwise, you will lose much out of this chapter. This chapter, let me think of an advertisement that I've seen about a young white boy who wanted to introduce himself to the couple next door, and the couple there was a Chinese little boy, same age. So this little white boy was running over to the neighbors with a plate of Oreo cookies and a glass of milk. But immediately when he came there, the Chinese boy took the Oreo cookies and he explained to the boy, the white boy, just giving him the cookies, how to enjoy and how to eat these cookies. He explained you have to take the two Oreo cookies, two pieces. You have to. He explained how do you have to twist it just a little bit so that the two parts can come loose. And then it you have to do it with caution. You have to know what you're doing when you eat an Oreo cookie. And he said then you lick off that icing, that creamy icing in the middle, and then you dip the Oreo cookie in the milk just long enough so that the Oreo cookie would be saturated with the milk, but not long enough so that it can break up and dissolve in the milk. And then you put it in your mouth, and then you have the real taste of an Oreo cookie. And this is what this chapter is. You have to take it piece by piece. You have to understand it. You have to know by the power of the Holy Spirit that every verse, every word of Jesus here, you understand it, you take it in, and you make it your own. So only a few verses, and I think it's on only a few verses that I want to talk about. Verse 15, 21, 23, and 24. I mean, the whole chapter is worth reading and taking it in. But I want to preach only on these four verses this morning. Here, these four verses is like that Oreo cookie. Jesus focused on two things, love and obedience. That's why the theme of my sermon is, what is your motivation to obedience? So Jesus talk here about love and obedience. Verse 1 to 15, 14 and 16 to 20, 26 to 25 to 31 is more like that icing in the middle of that cookie that keep everything together. It is here that Jesus was giving his disciples the promise of the Holy Spirit in verse 16 of the same chapter. Here Jesus said that if I'm going, because I will go away from you. I will go and prepare a place for you. But I will leave a helper for you, the Holy Spirit. And that's why I said, let us receive the Holy Spirit in us, around us, and through us this morning. Jesus said, if you love me, Jesus says here, if we love him, we will obey him. This morning, we are going to have a close look at what it means. What is your motivation to obedience? Let us just read that few verses here. In verse 15 said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And the verse 21 said, he who has my commandments and keep them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. And then verse 23 said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which he hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. You see, Jesus links obedience to his commandment as a sign of proof of genuine love for him. Jesus didn't say, be obedient to me, then you will love me. This is not what he said. He said, if you keep my commandments, you love me. Because love is not produced by obedience. Love doesn't flow out of obedience. Love must be something that is in you. Love must be something, love for God. If you have the love for God, you will automatically obey God. I have an example. I'm a very careful driver. And maybe my wife will agree with me that I got my first license when I was 19. And for the past 35 years, I praise God that I have never had an accident in my life, or a real serious accident. Maybe a little bumper benters here and then, but not a really serious accident. Because why? I am obedient to the laws of the country, the speeding laws of the country. There's many weekends that we're going to Rehoboth, and you know, it's an open road between Rehoboth and Windhoek, and sometimes I want to give it, but I know there's a lot of traffic officers on that road. And I know if I disobey the rule, then I will have a ticket. So I am obedient to the rules of the law, that don't overspeed. Keep your speed, under 120. But the fact that I'm obedient to the law doesn't mean that I love the traffic officer that will give me a ticket. Or the fact that I'm obedient to the law to keep my speed is not that I love the person who wrote that law. I didn't even know who wrote that law. But I'm obedient to that law because I didn't want a ticket. So do you see, obedience is not coming from love. You can be obedient to somebody without loving that person. Jesus said, if you love me, then you will obey my commandments. In other words, love produces obedience. Or obedience to Christ's commands is the result of genuine love. If you genuinely love God, you will keep his commandments. It is possible to obey Jesus' words and not love him. You know, I know of many people, good people, people that live a lot like according what the word of God said. I know some people, but they don't love God. They've never had a point where they can say, I have accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. So sometimes people can live according to the rules and the law of God, but they don't love God. But it is impossible to love God and not obey him. If you and I really, really love God, we will automatically obey God. I know there's been times that my kids, I praise God, I have four children, and today I think I've raised wonderful full children, and I praise God for each of them. But I know there was times that my children obey me because they know if they obey me, they will receive a reward. I will give them something. There's sometimes my children grew up in the 80s, early 90s, and at that time, spanking was not out of the law. It was still valid to spank your child. So maybe, and now that law is out. That law is only that no grandchild must be spanked ever. This is the new law. But children can still be spanked. But at that years, my children was a little bit afraid, if they don't obey me, they can receive the spanking. So they do what I tell them to do. There was times that my children obey me just because of the rules of our home. If my wife and I said, this is how do you have to do it, they have to obey it. Maybe they didn't agree with our rules. Maybe it was against them, but they had to do it because that was the rules that was laid down by their parents. And then the fourth one is that I know that there was many times that my children obey me purely or simply because they love me. You know what? There's nothing. There's no better feeling for a dad when I know that my kids obey me because they love me. And if you have a disobedient heart this morning towards your parents, just try and see how much you will will give him, you know, that extra if you start obeying him because you love him or her. Let me ask you this question: this, why do you obey Jesus? Do you obey Jesus because you're looking forward for the reward, that if you are good, you will receive something? Or do you obey Jesus because you are afraid that you will be punished and that the eternal hell is waiting for you? Or do you obey Christ's commands because you have no other choice? It is a self-imposed, self-righteous act like the Pharisees. Or do you obey Jesus simply because you love him? You know what? If somebody asks me this question, I will immediately pick number four. I will say, I obey Jesus because I love him, because I know I love him. But be very, very careful before you answer this question. How well do you know the motives of your heart? How well do you know this is really the answer on this question? Jeremiah 17 verse 9 said, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Let's just take a moment and go through all four this questions and see where we fit in. I love Jesus because of the reward. This is number one. What is it like for someone to obey Christ, but they do it because they are hoping to get something out of it? Because their obedience is linked to a reward, they will always have their hand stretched out. You know what? There's a lot of Christians that obey God just because they know that God will look after me. Because he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and I will give you, and all the other things will be added unto you. But you doesn't know exactly the motive of your heart. There's a lot of Christians that expect God's blessing as a divine allowance. They feel that God must bless them because they have been so good. But listen, I believe with my whole heart what John 14:14 said in the Word of God. He said, John 14:14, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. And it's not that I said God didn't want to give you something. You don't have to expect something good from God. What I said here is, what is the motive of your heart? In what way are you asking this from God? We must be careful. Sometimes we are too quick to want God's blessings and to seek relief for any difficulty or hardship that we are in. You know, sometimes life is so difficult and we can't move forward on our own. Now, many people then just quickly run to God until they think they receive what they want, and then they walk away. And this is what I wanted to talk about this morning, my dear family, is let us look at our hearts. Let us do introspection in our own life and see where we stand. We need to understand that God's blessings is upon us now. Paul makes it very clear in Philippians 4:11-13, said, I have learned to be content with whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. You know, and I think this morning I can agree with this, what Paul have said here. Because as a family, we went through basically the same circumstances. But we still, you know, there's still time that we fail God. Paul have learned the secret of contentment that each of you and I need to learn. Christ is with us even in the midst of our suffering. If there's in any way, this is exactly the word that was, the prophetic word that was coming out this morning, of a lady who's struggling. And this is how the Holy Spirit reveals certain things to us. Just see that God is in the midst of any suffering, and He will give you the strength to go through it, step by step, moment by moment. The second one, the fear of punishment. What does it look to that a person fear God just to escape punishment? Some may be quick to point out that it's okay, it's motivational to fear God. There's even people that said, but it is scriptural to fear God. And it's true, because Proverbs 3:7 said, fear the Lord and shun evil. Philippians 2:12 said, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So, it's good to fear God. Are we supposed to have a fear for the Lord? Yes, that fear is the reverence and awe of God. This is the type of fear that we have. If we don't have a fear of reverence and awe of God, then we have the wrong fear for God. But because sometimes I know of Christians that has a phobia or unhealthy fear of God. They believe if they do something wrong now, God will punish them and they will go through certain difficulties in their life. And this is the people that you and I need to, if you and I know of better, you and I need to talk to them. This is, maybe you are the one that has an unhealthy fear. Then you have to bring it to God and say, God, I can't deal with this anymore. I fear you, you know. So how can you tell the difference between a healthy and an unhealthy fear? An unhealthy fear will either paralyze you and cause you to run away. You don't want to be near that person or that thing that will terrorize your heart. This is an unhealthy fear. An unhealthy fear is when you are afraid to come to God. Some people are so afraid to come and ask God something because you never know what God's answer will be. Maybe God will say no again, and then I'm sitting where I was. So it depends on where is your heart. Those who obey God with the fear of punishment have a hard time drawing near to God in worship and in praise. You know, if you know it's hard for you to worship and to praise God, look into yourself and see, did I maybe have a fear for God? A fear that I didn't want to come close to Him. It is difficult to lovingly embrace that which you are afraid of. They fear God. They fear that God will reject their efforts to obey Him. The individual who obeys God because they don't want to be punished also lack faith. You know, people that fear God don't have the faith in God. Some people have the difficulty believing that God will meet their needs or answer their request because of how they view God. If we view God as a loving, compassionate Father that will not hurt us because of who we are, you know, then we will receive what God wants to give us. They can only see God as the one who hands out eternal punishment and not as a loving God, a Father who cares for His children. In my walk of life, I have met people that has a fear for God, who say that I'm fearing God because I don't want to be in hell one day. But it's a total wrong fear. The third one is no other choice. There is people that obey God because they have no other choice. So they impose their obedience strictly on self-righteousness upon how to live. There's people that is in clause of a religious act. There's people that is staying in a certain a religious movement or a cult, you can say, just because they think it is good to be there. These folks will look good. They will be careful about everything they're doing. And this is true. maybe here in our country is also people that is living under a cult. But I know especially in North America, Canada and America, there's Amish people. And they live strictly for, according to rules. And most of them, they can do whatever they want. They can rape the children. They can do whatever they want as long as they strictly live under these rules. You know? So maybe we have people in our own community that live under that type of circumstances. Jesus took on the Pharisees of his day. He could see beyond their self-impressed righteousness and see the real condition of their heart. And this is really what Jesus said in Matthew 23, 27 and 28. And this is the condition of my heart. He said, "Woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites." It's basically the same verse that the young lady was just reading now. "You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness." You know, this is the danger of people that living just on a way to obey God because of this is the rules that were set down for me. None of us will be able to pull the wool over God's eyes. And that I can tell you today. Because God knows us. He knows us. He created us. So we won't think, you know, we can carry on with our life the way we're doing. We will be able to pull the wool over God's eyes. He won't be fooled by our claims of a loving devotion and self-imposed righteousness. And then number four is an overflow of love. Does our love produces a life marked by obedience? Does your life and my life produces a life marked by obedience? Can people from the outside see you are an obedient child of God? You know, many times this is basically my prayer every morning before I go from home. I say, "God, today I really want to bear the fruit of the Spirit. Please keep me intact, God. When, please put a guard right in front of my lips. Before I want to say something harsh to somebody, please stop me. Before I get very, very angry, if a taxi just stop right in front of me, please help me to just accept it." You know, but sometimes we miss that mark so terribly, you know. Sometimes before you come to your senses, you have already said something that you know that is totally not godly. That then you have missed the mark. So John 2:16 said, "And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandments that you have heard from the beginning that you should walk in." This is 2 John 1:16. So we have to walk in that love. Love here is the key. A heart that fully loves Christ produces a life that is marked by obedience through his word. If our life, if we fully love Christ, our life will produce a life of obedience. How can you recognize a loving obedience to Christ and his word? Love obeys Christ, demands wholeheartedly. If you love Christ, you will obey his commands wholeheartedly. Those who love Christ will obey his commands simply because it is Christ's word spoken to them. Whether it is a spoken commandment in the scripture, his teachings in the Old Testament, or the New Testament scriptures that is inspired by the Holy Spirit, or even that still small voice of his Spirit speaking to the hearts of those who love him and obey him. And a thought was just coming to my mind, you know, sometimes that still small voice of the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. And it can happen with anyone. It happened with pastors. It happened with anyone. I use that also in the Afrikaans sermon, I said that what was so great for me last week, Pastor Jaco from Swakopmund was here. He was preaching an awesome sermon, and I really, really had so much out of this. But what really touches me that he could openly say that there was during the week, I think he was also disobedient to God. When the Holy Spirit, the soft voice of the Holy Spirit, prompted him to pray for somebody that time, he didn't do it. So it happened to all of us. It's not with only one person. You know, sometimes it happened to me that I know that the Holy Spirit is speaking to me, but I'm disobedient to the Holy Spirit and not doing what the Holy Spirit is telling me to do. Psalm 40 verse 8 said, I desire your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. Luke 11:28 said, blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. You know what? This word of God must be in your hand, in your mind, and in your heart all day long. I just want to obey Christ and serve him only. This is my desire. And God knows my heart this morning. But sometimes I miss the mark. Sometimes I'm also disobedient to him. If my obedience, but sometimes if my obedience of convenience of my personal belief, then I'm serving myself. That's why you have to be so careful. Is I obedient just because I want something, or I want to serve myself and not Christ? And this is where the danger is coming in. Only if I wholeheartedly respond to Christ with a willing heart of devotion, I will serve Christ and Christ alone. Love, obey Christ without a question. Because I love Christ, I do whatever he asks me to do. I am not free to pick and choose whether or when I want to obey Christ. You know, and this is so true. Let me tell you this morning that delayed obedience is disobedient. So don't think that, you know what, I can do it tomorrow. Delayed obedience is disobedient totally. There's not something that in between. If you said, I will do it tomorrow, I will not be obedient today to God, that means you are disobedient to God. It's not that you said, I will do it, so I'm not disobedient. Delayed obedience is disobedience. So if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you at that moment, you have to do it then. Don't think I will come back tomorrow and pray for that person. Or I will come back, maybe I will quickly go to the office and phone that person and speak to him what the Holy Spirit was saying to me now. Because you delayed your obedience, that means you are disobedient to God. Love for Christ keep us walking in obedience to the direction he tells us to go. Love makes his way even though we don't understand it. You know, who of us really understand the way of God? Who of us really are happy with the way our life is going every day? Maybe there's many people, but you know, sometimes you don't understand. And especially many times in my own case, I don't understand why is God allowing these things. But let me just tell you, love will lead you to understand the ways of God. Love obey Christ cheerfully. Love never obeys with remorse. You know, if you love somebody, you will not obey that person with remorse. You will obey that person with a thankful heart. Love desires to please the one it loves, and this is so true. Love will desire to please the one it loves through glad and joyful obedience. Psalm 119 verse 97 said, oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it day and night. Psalm 119 verse 65 said, great peace is they who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. I want to conclude with this. Love obeys Christ's commands consistently. You must be consistent in your obedience to Christ. And this is exactly what I have said just earlier. Don't think I can delay to do. You have to be consistent. If God has called you, if God said to you, I've also talked about it in our small group, about quiet time, for example. I know that God called each one of us to a specific time in your busy schedule to give to Him. You know what? I myself, there was a time that I was so busy, I couldn't do my quiet time. But this is one of the things that we maybe disobey God the most. When He called us, when He said, listen, I want to be intimate with you. Only with you for a few minutes. Just forget about everything that is going out. Just come for this few minutes so that I can speak to you. So that I can reveal my heart to you. Love never fails. Because I love Christ, I will continue to love Him. Therefore, I will continue to obey Him. Psalm 119 verse 44 said, I will always obey your law forever and ever. So how is it possible to faithfully obey Christ at all times? Yes, our love for Christ produces an overflow with obedience, but it doesn't end there. Deuteronomy 30 verse 14 said, the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. So this is the question that I want to ask you. Where is God's word this morning? Is it in your mouth and is it in your heart? Because the Holy Spirit, because only the Holy Spirit that enable us to have a consistent love for Jesus that will never fail. What is your motivation for obedience to Christ? And this is the question that I want to ask you this morning. What is your motivation to obedience to Christ? And this is a question. Sadly, this is a question that you alone will answer. Not your father, not your mother, not your wife or your husband or friend. You have to answer this question. I want us to, just for a few minutes, to be silent, close our eyes, and just call out to God and ask God to show us, where is my obedience? God, show me any of these four things where I am this morning. And then afterwards, if you need prayer, please come forward. We are willing to pray with you. You know what? This is church. This is the community of God. So we are not in a hurry to go if you don't want to go now. But if there's something that we need to pray for you, you can come and we will pray. Just for a few minutes, let us just close our eyes. And just let Harry play for us the... Father, if we in quietness sit here before you, you know the condition of my heart this morning, Lord. Father God, you know where I'm standing towards you this morning. You know which of these four points that I've made this morning are really applicable to my life. Father, help me to do introspection in my own life, to see where I am. Father, this is my desire to love you wholeheartedly. Father, I don't want to give up anything. I want to give up everything, Lord, to love you. I pray, Father God, that the words that was going out this morning, Holy Spirit, that you will the after preach of your word. Father God, that we will go home with this word and throughout this week ponder on this word. And know that you are God. Father God, we love you. and we know that you love us more. We are blessed to be your children. Amen.
I just want us to remain with our heads bowed in prayer. I just feel in my heart that for this amazing message that David has brought to us, it's just, if you don't know this love, you don't know, you've never experienced this type of love that David has spoken of, specifically where you've learned obedience through circumstances that is not the way that God intended. If you have somehow missed the concept of who God really is, that He's a Father that loves you, that He's wanting, that He's not somebody that's over your head with a stick in the hand to wait for you to do something wrong and then hit you over the head and say, ah, you've done it wrong. I just feel that there might be people here today that you've never realized that God is that person that is standing beside you, that wants you to succeed. He wants you to experience life. He wants you to know what it means to be loved by Him. And it's something that David says, love never fails. But that's God's love never fails. This world's love fails constantly, but God's love never fails. And it will never fail for anybody. I guarantee it. It's a promise of God in His Word. And if you have never accepted the guarantee of love, I would like to invite you today to receive it. And it's a promise from God, the living God that's created everything that you see, everything that we can touch, everything that we can imagine. His hand was on it, in it, part of it. It's so beautiful the way that David describes it in the Psalms, when he was formed in his mother's womb, God was there. He was forming him in the deepest part. And it's such an amazing picture of God's beauty, the way that a child is formed. We understand it, but we don't understand it because it's just so supernatural. And that's just the way that God is, the way that God works, the way His heart is for us. He wants to form us. His loving hands is around us. And you have to accept it. That's that point of acceptance where God doesn't want robots. He wants people that follows Him. His heart rejoices when you accept His will, accept His love and His gift of grace. And you can just say, thank you, God. I want this love. I want to know this love. And if that's you, I just want you to raise your hand quickly to say, God, here I am. I want to experience that love. If it's for the first time, or maybe you just have to come back where you've gotten into religion, where you've missed God's heart, and you fell out of love with Him. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand as well. You say, God, here I am. I want to reconnect with you. I want to recommit in such a way that only you will know how. Thank you. If you've raised your hand today, please come to the front. We would love to pray with you. We really want to spend time with you. And I just feel the presence of God is still here. There's still an open door. If there's something in your heart that you want to share, just come to the front, share with us. We would pray for you. And we just want to say thank you for being here today. And may the Lord bless you. Enjoy the week. Drive safely. And we'll see you hopefully next week, Saturday, with the function. Please come there and expect a blessing. Because it will be a blessing. It will be such a blessing that you won't believe. And I believe it's really God's heart. And it's such a privilege to be part of that. So I hope you enjoy the rest of your Sunday. And hope to see you soon. Amen.